The following is a paid program and does not necessarily reflect the views of WSIC. Bad and the Guilty is recorded live with the men and women of law enforcement. All suspects are innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Now, here's your host, Iredell County Sheriff, Darren Campbell.
Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you?
Bill, do you know what time it is?
It's 5 minutes after three.
I don't mean literally. I'm talking about time for the good, the bad, and the guilty.
It is time for good, the bad, and the guilty. And welcome back.
I'm glad to be back. I've sort
of noticed
that.
Good to have you back.
Well, it kind of worries me because we got a disclaimer. I've never heard the disclaimer. They're not responsible for anything that we may or may not say. So,
and for today's show, that may be appropriate.
That's true. So, hey, glad everybody's with us. A little bit of house cleaning before we get started. I'm Darren Campbell, sheriff here in Iredell County. I got Chief Deputy Bill Hamby, and to our it's my left, but on TV it looks like it's sort of the other side, but Nathan Linden. Nathan, say hey.
Hello.
We're going to talk a little bit about road patrol and a little bit of things. We've had a couple things go this week, and you're one of our, you've got a lot of years in, plus you deal with a lot of our young guys and how Iredell County's grown. But
that's his way of saying you're old, Sarge, just for the record.
Yeah.
Hey, we're right there with you. I'd hate to do the totals. We've probably got about 75 years of experience.
This
or
is
more
the 50 club, partly, right?
Absolutely, yes, sir.
So speak for y'all self. Okay, our owner, as always, we encourage anybody that would like to call in 844-788-3464, or it's 844-STUDIO and the number 4. Our social channels is you can follow us on Facebook, YouTube, X, LinkedIn, and also always WSICnews.com. And we look forward to hearing, we'll watch the comments as much as we can. So you can send us a comment on Facebook, replay, share it, and listen later, add comments, and we try to watch it. So
Joe, I told you I tried to get him here this week.
I'm surprised he did so good reading the number and the social channels. It's been a while, like riding a bike, right?
It is just like riding a bike. It is just like riding.
It's good to have you back.
I'm glad to be back. I'm tired of traveling a lot. It's been a lot of traveling.
I was going to say, ironically enough, today you were reading earlier today. One of the cooler things that I think you get to do as sheriff is, especially on Read Across America Week, which this week is, you were where today?
I was at my old elementary school, Sharon Elementary.
Nice.
Principal Sales, Miss Hewitt, asked me to come out there and read to the class. And I made the one mistake of allowing the kids to choose the book. So They chose the longest book I think there was. The only other option they would have been the Bible would have been longer. But it was a great, great class, a lot of great questions. And I have an absolute ball at the schools. But out of that, all that, the best thing I got, it's been a while since I've been to Sharon. Well, they sort of changed around a little bit. I will guarantee you that every door, while it's raining, is locked at that school. Because I hit every one of them until I finally found the right one. So.
Sounds to me like our school resource officers are doing exactly
and you know
what they're supposed to be
and
doing.
And actually, you know, this wasn't even he was the first one I seen when I come on campus.
It's good.
First one. And we got to say, the little, I don't know if it's called service dog, but Mabel, if anybody's ever seen, heard of Mabel, send them a message out there. If you follow them on Facebook, they got a little dog in there that's just absolutely adorable and was fun
kind
to hang with.
Kind of an office dog.
An office dog.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I went to, you sent me down to Cabarrus County. Last week, I guess now, in hindsight, but they have a support dog. He actually has another job of searching for electronic devices when they go do search warrants and certain investigations. But what a sweet lab. Oh, man, just great. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to a couple of their detectives there, and they said, you know, it just really is cool because now they've just kind of – he just kind of does his thing, you know, throughout the day. He'll go around the sheriff's office and go into people's offices and sit down. And I know if it's like Tito, when Tito comes to your office – goes to a specific drawer.
Okay, Nathan, I made a mistake. You know, me as a dog handler, you never give the dogs a treat. But if you give one of them, I think they tell each other because now when they come down the hall, they come in my office.
They do.
So I got me a box of treats for the dogs.
They do.
But, you know, we don't have one at the office. We've got a lot of canines thanks to not only, you know, the taxpayers here and the drug dealers that we've used a lot of their money to buy dogs, but the school system has really supported us in with Rip and Laker. And I'm trying to remember, we just got another one.
Creek,
I'm trying to keep track of the school.
Rip actually came to the office the other day. Chris Atwood brought him to the office the other day, and he walked around. It's good to see him and Chris. But going back, Sheriff, as we were talking earlier, what exactly did you read today?
I have read a lot.
No,
today.
At the school.
Oh, I thought you were talking about getting ready for something different.
No.
Lorax.
Dr. Seuss.
Dr. Seuss. Yeah. I let them pick it out. So, there again, we've already hit this one time, but that is a long book. But it's a good, it's a tongue twister, but it's a good book. And we talked about the stories about, well, sort of the movie, but
could
Smog
have been Green Eggs and Ham, though.
Truthfulest Truth. I've read that in a bunch.
Yeah.
But the kids, I mean, I know they've heard and they're like, just watching me with their mouth. So, it's fun. And they got great questions, great comments. And they understood the meaning beside the book, behind the book and the story. And we got to sit there and just cut up a little bit.
Your story was cooler than the one I read last year. When we went out to Celeste Hinkle, I had the Stinky Cheese Man.
Yeah, I took mine over that one.
Yeah. It's a great story. So, also, in all your travels, I know last week Matt and I were here with a couple guests, but all seriousness, this is your busy time as president of the North Carolina Sheriff's Association. I know you're having, is it regional meetings?
I have about 6 to 7 different regional meetings. I could be off a little bit from Haywood County all the way to tomorrow. Following day, I'll travel to Duplin, which I'll be wrapping up my regional meetings.
When you were down in Martin the other day?
Excuse me. I was in Martin, and I was also back doing Duke University for a leadership forum with the John Hood Foundation.
Tell us a little bit about that one. I kind of alluded to that last week that you were in a class. I didn't want to take your thunder,
you know,
because I think it's pretty prestigious that you got invited to this really neat class.
I was honored to participate. There's a lot of legislators. There's a lot of, well, senators and House reps, police chiefs, mayors, Mayor of Durham's there with me, and also, believe it or not, some prior offenders that have come out and involved in nonprofits and how to clean up things and how to do stuff. There's a little conversation about ulterior response other than just law enforcement all the time. And I was really, in the way they do the teaching, the way that you really, it sounds weird, but it's 101 because you're so much open communication with the groups and opinions. So, and they encourage you, but it's kind of good ideas. Not that would be one of my ideas, but there's a lot of good ideas that I could see working here. But a lot of stuff they ask me, how are we keeping officers? And I'm telling them, and I'll tell you this, Nathan, with y'all sitting here, we've really pushed being able to recruit the best officers. Say you got a BLAT, I want to be able to recruit the top 10%. And with that, I have to be able to pay them a livable wage or pay them a lot less, and I have to have 2 to do the job of 1, and you get the bottom third of the class.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a lot of conversations, and they're talking, okay, well, that makes sense. But it's different demographics, it's different community members, and it's different opinions of law enforcement. And here we've got a lot going for us, and the main thing being the support. You know, our staffing rate's going to be about 1 deputy per 1,000, and we're going down. But we're going to have to keep crime rates low, so y'all – and we'll talk here in just a little bit. I know me and Bill's took up the whole first 7 minutes, <did. laughs> but we will we'll get into that and talk about our staffing rates, how you've done more with less.
And in closing, out of Clara, Saturday, I was watching Fox News, and I'm pretty sure I saw your stunt double or you in Greensboro at a function.
I did get invited to come down to do the Pledge of Allegiance, an event. It was a Trump rally. So Stacey and I took the day and went down there, and I was honored enough to get to speak a little bit with, I feel confident it's going to be the Republican nominee and the former president, Donald Trump. It was more than just a 3-minute pass, but it was actually a good 10 to 15 minute conversation about things. And so that was good, and I was honored to be there. A lot of people, and you know, things stay very orderly. Seeing Speaker of the House, Senators, Attorney General, Ted Budd, Mark Robinson, a lot of those that were there to support right prior to Election Day. So
I hear the music playing, so Sarge, when we come back, we're going to introduce you, talk about our patrol division. Sheriff, I know you got some other good stuff to talk about. So we'll be back in 5, 4, 3.
We'll fade out.
1.
Stay with us. We'll have more of the good, the bad, and the guilty after this short break on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC. Local starts here. Now, back to more of The Good, the Bad, and the Guilty with Iredell County Sheriff Darren Campbell on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC.
Joe, I'm up-tempo now. I'm ready to go. Got me excited. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in this afternoon, listening to The Good, the Bad, the Guilty. We have Sheriff Campbell back in the saddle with us today after being gone for a couple weeks. We have Sergeant Nathan Linden with us today, And if you have any questions for Sheriff Campbell or anything about the Iredell County Sheriff's Office or law enforcement related, please give us a call, 844-788-3464 or 844-STUDIO-4. You can follow us on Facebook, YouTube, X, LinkedIn, and, of course, WSICnews.com. Sissy Odalita, thank you so much for commenting earlier, and a couple other folks on our comments. Joe, do we have a call? We have a call.
Really? Nathan, might be for you.
It could be. You never know.
Caller, are you there? Hello? Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, sir. Hi, this is Annie Dance with Cops in Congress, AnnieDance.substack.com. I'm curious, Sheriff Campbell, were there any surprises in the statewide primary race that you saw? I know Sheriff Page lost out on Lieutenant Governor Republican side, but I in Rutherford County, Hunter Haynes, a sheriff's deputy, won the county commissioner seat. So I'm curious what your thoughts are.
Well, as far as the statewide stuff, a lot of good people, a lot of good candidates running for a lot of high office. I commend everybody that ran, not just that, but our local candidates too, with our board and congressional races and everything. So, but with that being seen, I did watch Hunter, and I did see, because I was familiar with that race, so I did see that he come out on head as a young deputy there, working for the sheriff's office. And, you know, I know that I believe Weatherman and O'Neill, if I'm not mistaken, are headed for a runoff. I could be mistaken. I've not read all the news, but
Howell and Jim O'Neill.
So I really was not surprised. I think it was pretty much, you know, being a primary, it was pretty much predicted, I think, on most of the races where they would end, and just some of the bigger with more candidates was some that would be guesswork. I think you still guess the top three just by the polling data. But not really. A lot of good people, and I wish them the best of luck and hope they do a good job and get in there when election time comes, because there's still an election yet, and see how things goes and do a good job for everybody.
Thank you for that. I've kept up on some of your travels throughout the state, and specifically in the western part of the state, there's a lot of unhoused people, a.k.a. homeless. So your patrol sergeant might be getting into this in a minute. But, of course, being homeless is not a crime, but what can people do to help the efforts or help something if they see something, say something, or what's your message to people who are dealing with seeing a lot of people who may be transient?
Yeah, I think the big thing is if you're seeing them, especially in community, when we do, we have in the past had, you know, especially along our interstates, we've had those complaints. Contact law enforcement, let law enforcement get involved. They can get an eyes on the scene type thing. And even here with our deputies, they know the resources to help those people if they need it. And you know, that's pretty much the way we have handled it. We don't have a lot of homeless camps, at least we're dealing with in the county. I know the city may or may not have a few places I've heard in the past. I know they are very transient, but I would say, and I'd recommend to anybody, if you see something, say something, contact law enforcement. We have an app you can send it through. We have email now. You can send it through a message on Facebook. So there's easy ways to make those issues known to those who can get the resources to those people who need it. Okay?
Thank you, sir.
Hey, yes, ma'am, and have a good day. And thank you for the call.
There you go.
Good call, Sheriff, from Rutherford County,
I believe.
That's
exactly right, from our western neighbors. Last night was a fun night.
It was. It was a good night.
Other than election night, we had something going on at the sheriff's office.
Yes. You had me going there for a little bit. But before we even go, I do want to say congratulations to everybody, and everybody put their name on last night.
Yes. Yeah,
win or lose, everybody, you put your name out there and you try to do what you think, and I'd say never give up, and no matter what you want to do.
Outstanding candidates
so
in our
congratulations.
Yes, sir.
Yes, we had our Citizens Academy start again last night. You know, we knew some that was going to, we still got maybe one or two spots if somebody just hears from their neighbor they would like to.
Mm-hmm.
But we did have some that couldn't be there tonight. We'll be there this Thursday, I assume.
Yes, sir.
But it's a good class. We got to do the introduction to the sheriff's office. A lot of eyes were open last night with what we're doing with and how we're handling things and what we're capable of doing. So, great class. Look forward to seeing them again Thursday.
Yeah, it was fun. Sergeant, you've had some interaction with some of our Citizens Academies in the past.
Yeah, oh, sure. You know, it's just part of mine was just, you know, kind of, you know, helping out with, you know, hey, this is what patrol does to a certain extent. I mean, mm-hmm. A lot of people think it's, you know, it's not all TV. I mean, a lot of it is, you know, might be similar, but I mean, there's a lot of aspects of it that people just don't, you know, they either don't know or they just never even thought of that we have to deal with and do, and just trying to make sure everybody, you know, was given a little bit of enlightened somewhat.
And I do think, Sheriff, one of the neat things that you allow for the graduates to do after they complete the course is they can come right along with our deputies.
Yes, come right along. They're sort of when I tell them when we do the thing, we give them a little gift at the end that's very unique to us. We let them, they're part of the family now. Come see us, stay around. They can ride along, do all sorts of things. So, hey, before we got started, Nathan, I got some points. We forgot to really introduce you. Everybody probably knows you, right?
Okay. For the most part, maybe.
I don't know. Been here now. Now, we've been friends and we worked together. I know you were here years ago and you left for another employment and came back. You've got 28 years of law enforcement experience. I won't say how old you are. Probably older than me, Bill and I.
Old.
No, you're older.
Whatever. You don't have to point it out. I was just catching. But you, now listen, now with all that golden stuff that everybody sees and your high rank and a person of influence you are, you have a wife that's in law enforcement too.
I do.
Now, what rank is she?
She's a captain.
Okay, just checking.
So you're outranked at home and at work.
Well, me and Bill's got the same job.
Just go ahead and say yeah.
No.
Believe me, Stacy pulls rank on me all the time. So.
Maybe a little bit. And Stacy has no rank. And she pulls that.
She is.
Bill, don't you say nothing. Michelle does the same thing.
No, sir. I know better.
You know your place. We all know
I'm so here smiling.
Okay, moving on. You went to BLET and Davis Community College in 1994. You're a reserve officer with Winston-Salem Police Department. In 96 to 2008, you served to find people at Statesville City at the Statesville Police Department. And you also served the citizens of Viral County, or I'm sorry, Troutman, and obtained the rank of sergeant. And you have specialized training in all sorts of stuff. And I like your quote, your best training is you've been riding your patrol car your whole career.
That's pretty cool. Well, you know, people have a niche, as that saying goes, or niche, however you want to say it. The country comes out, so it's niche. But, you know, it's a lot of people, they get into this and they, well, I want to be a detective. You know, I want to do this. I want to do that. Mine has always been, you know, riding around in a patrol car and getting out and seeing people and dealing with, you know, stuff firsthand instead of, you know, picking up after the fact.
Well, and you see a lot of the changes, and we have seen them too, and you've been in the intro. It's a different day every day, so those just looking those just looking to come in as professional, we try to recruit. You know, the biggest thing with you sitting here, and sort of us, but you more than anything, is there is a long, long career, a satisfying career in law enforcement on the enforcement side.
Yeah.
You know, we've got these young people, and we can go tell war stories. We'll come back here in a little bit, but I guess if you had one thing to say to the young people that was wanting to come into the field from when we started to where they're at now that someone may be nervous about or, well, excited about, other than technology or including the technology, what would you say to them to get them, you know, to get into the field or support that decision?
You know, if you've got a drive that can, you know, withstand a lot of ups and downs. That's, you know, this is it. Because, I mean, there's always a lot of good things, but, you know, there's some, you know, pretty bad and hairy things that happen every now and then. But that's, you know, if that's the type of life you want to live and, you know, that's an interest to you, then, yeah, come on.
Well, we tell these candidates now, you know, the biggest thing is they got to remember I swear I'm in, but they don't really work for me. They work for the citizens of the county as well as I do. And you got to treat people like you want to be treated. And sometimes they're like, and I'm not saying don't get out here and don't let nobody hurt you. And, you know, you got to do it. But that's the big thing today. And, Bill, you can hit on this a little bit, too, is in the field of law enforcement, it seems, you know, the catchphrase was defund, defund, defund. Oh, but in the end, I don't like that term, but it really helped the good officers. I mean, I think it helped bring the good officers to light and us be able to recruit better trained officers.
I think it did because, and Nathan, you obviously, you being a field training officer and now a sergeant as well, I believe that before the defund movement, you saw people coming into our profession that might not have otherwise thought about coming into our profession.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you had the horrific events that led up to the whole defund police movement. But you saw kind of the wheat and the chaff kind of get separated.
Mm-hmm.
The folks that wanted to get into the profession got into the profession. The folks that wanted to stay, stayed. Now, of course, obviously, you had retirement and things like that. I understand that. But you had a lot of people get out of the profession, which opened up, for good or bad, Sheriff, a lot of our positions. And there for a while, not only our agency, but a lot of agencies across the country were down officers. But now that's just about completely filled back up.
We have recovered. A lot of other agencies, that's one of the things we covered when we was in the forum, was a lot of them still have not recovered. But the problem is a statement they made to their law enforcement.
Correct.
Look at Seattle, look at Washington State, look at, I believe it's Austin, Texas.
Well, there's a couple municipalities not far from here, one west and one maybe a little south, that still have openings just because of the way that the officers, and we talked to the officer, you talked to the officer, I talked to him, Nathan, I know you know folks. You talk to these officers and they're like, I just don't feel like I'm getting the support from the community or the elected officials or, mm-hmm. you know, the court system in those various areas, not here, that they feel like they need. And I know, Sheriff, you and I have had conversations with people at the Sheriff's Associations here in North Carolina as well as national, and that sentiment kind of is prevalent in some areas.
Well, and you see it, and now what gets me, and we're in the law enforcement business, but, you know, and this is the political side that on everything has been, you know, everything gets politicized. I mean, yeah, politicized is law enforcement support. Where were you at? Where was a lot of people at 2 years, even locally? Where were you at 2 years ago?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, that's very frustrating. But, you know, it has changed around. Even Durham and some of those other police departments are asking me, well, how do you recruit them? How do you keep them? The biggest thing is support them and support y'all and support Bill. From my perspective, and Bill, you as the lower ones, is we've got to support you in your chosen profession, and that's mm-hmm. law enforcement. That's what we said, you know.
And that comes from pay. That comes from good supervisors. That comes from giving them classes, giving them good equipment, as good as we can afford. You know, I mean, obviously, there are a lot more things that you could ask for, but that wouldn't be good use of taxpayer money.
Well, we got to work with the commissioners. We've got to do it. I've told them when we have our thing, we've got to work with them and prove that we can reduce crime and reduce it down mm-hmm. to the lowest, some of the lowest in the 10 counties around us. And
absolutely.
So, Joe, how long we got before you start to give us a break? We still got about 30 seconds. Bill, we can.
When we come back, let's talk about, Nathan, as a FTO, how would you and how do you train your new officers when they come to your squad?
Because that's field training officer training, yes. And that's training. The first thing they do now. And how long? So,
we'll be back shortly.
We will. All right.
There's more of The Good, the Bad, and the Guilty with Iredell County Sheriff Darren Campbell on the way from 105.9 100.7 WSIC. Now more of The Good, the Bad, and the Guilty with Iredell County Sheriff Darren Campbell on 105.9 100.7 WSIC.
Joe, you are a musical maestro over there today. I love Alfred. See, I just envision Alfred Hitchcock when I hear this music. Okay, sure.
I can see why you would envision that, too.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to listen to us here on The Good, the Bad, and the Guilty on WSIC. If you have any questions, we've already had one caller call in, but if you have any questions for Sheriff or Sergeant Nathan Linden or myself or anything law enforcement related, please give us a call, 844-788-3464. Joe says we have a lot of folks listening on X. There is a caller on the line now. All right,
well,
Joe.
Bill, go ahead. Your answer. You got the mic. Answer the phone.
Right. Hello, caller. Are you there? Hello? Hello?
Joe must have cut him off.
Joe, did you hang up on my caller?
I don't think I hung up on them. I think they
okay.
I think they left.
All right. Well, caller, call back, 844-788-3464. And Joe, you told us something during a commercial. We have people listening on X, which is great. We have people listening on Facebook, YouTube, LinkedIn, and of course you can follow WSIC at WSICnews.com.
And get some texts on the phone. Joe, we need a text line. You've got plenty of other ways, but a text line, because I'm sitting here answering texts.
You got a phone line right here.
Well, maybe they just want a text.
How does that help radio?
That's true. We can talk about it.
Yes.
Talk about it after I get okay, Sergeant Linden. We're back. You and if y'all, if, you know, I don't know if they can see on the camera. I guess they can. The guys that's walking behind us back
Justin's
here.
Getting after it in the.
Well,
in the,
I was
going to
say
today.
That's not working inmates. That is Justin back there working, fighting with a desk, putting together a desk. I believe he is.
Yeah. I see him. He's bending down. Nathan, he's right behind you.
Well, if it's an IKEA, he's going to be there for a while.
Yeah.
I think that's what they were saying. Yeah. They said better you than me.
Yeah.
I heard it's already being called Joe's Dojo. Because Joe will be in the room now.
You got it.
We have a caller back. Hello, caller. Are you there?
Yeah, I had a call come in. I had to hang up. Sorry about that.
Not a bit of problem.
Glad
so
you're back.
You?
Glad you're back. You're on the air.
Hey, I don't want to take no disrespect with this or nothing, Darren, but
Jesse.
The So all this stuff that went on in the past about getting these safe and effective shots, and I've seen a lot of people like going down after that, and I've lost several friends and loved ones very shortly after receiving those shots. And nobody ever lifted a finger as far as investigating their deaths. It wrote off as natural causes. And, you know, it could have been, you know, but most of them died in their sleep. And it was shortly after getting them shots, some within days, some within hours. Neighbors. And I'm just wondering why none of that got investigated versus to where, you know, you sell somebody a joint and they fall over with a heart attack, they go over head over heels about finding the person that sold them the joint to lock them up.
All right. Well, let me. I think I can answer this way, and absolutely no disrespect. If I think you meant no. If first of all, with marijuana, usually we would never investigate in that unless it's fentanyl. And that's
new
death by distribution laws. But as far as if there's a death at home in bed, and Nathan, the road sergeant here, and Bill, former homicide investigator, and we serve any death that's reported us through any kind of call, we do investigate. We respond.
Absolutely. We respond by law.
We respond by law. We do forward it to medical professional, which would be the on-call medical examiner, which may or may not respond to the scene, and or do an autopsy letter request. Otherwise, we're bound by what the general statute says. We investigate it. We forward it to the medical people with that kind of training. They can make those decisions and before they go to the funeral home and things like that. So I can't say about every individual case, but I can tell you we investigate or are involved in every case, unless it's like a cancer or an expected death that's run through hospice.
But even then, we still respond, take a report.
So we have to take a report. They are forwarded, and anything like that, we do investigate it, and we have to listen to our medical professionals, and it's the decision that they're trained with and the decision they make what to do thereafter. So I hope that kind of answers the question, but I do appreciate your call. Yes, sir. Hey, have a good and stay in touch. Thank you for everything you do.
Yeah. Yep.
Good question. But a lot of people may not know that we have to handle all those deaths.
Yeah.
So, Sergeant Lennon, I know we're back here. Bill, I think you had a question because technology or FTOing or whatever.
Yeah, Sarge. You know, you obviously you are a field training officer, and then you were promoted to the rank of sergeant, and you have a lot of hands-on day-to-day operations of the squad. So tell our listeners that may not know about the duty of a field training officer and or a sergeant, you have a new deputy that reports to your squad Monday morning at 6 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. He's watched Blue Blood since he was 12 years old and thinks that's what he's going to get to do.
Yeah.
Tell us how that works. What do you as a supervisor do for those deputies?
Well, I mean, you're pretty much their dad for a while.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you put them... You know, you try to match, kind of feel about a little bit match personalities. And you try to, you know, some FTOs are, you know, it's like, you're different, better one thing versus another. And it's like some people are a little bit more relaxed. And then there's some guys that like to get into stuff just like straight out of the gate. And, you know, so if you needed to put them with somebody that's a little bit more relaxed until they kind of get their feet wet and get the feel of it. Because, you know, even when we started and it wasn't nearly all the stuff that there is now, but it was a lot to take in.
I remember my first 3 days here at the sheriff's office. My very first day here in 98 when I moved back home, I had 6 hours with a captain. The next night was a Saturday night. I had 2 hours with a captain. And the third night, he said, call me if you need me.
Mm-hmm. And that was with prior experience. When I started, I'll never forget, you know, I'd worked in jail for a year. Come on, you did that. And then the day when you got moved out the road, you went to a clothes rack line with uniforms. You picked out a pair of pants that you hoped fit. You bought your own vest. They give you a car. It had you a key with a key to your car and a map. And they said, go to Mooresville. And I said, well.
Now, for those listeners who are young and don't know what a map is.
Or an atlas.
It's a piece of paper with pictures on it and roads.
And you know, if you was real good, you had the magnified version in the back page where you'd go the two to the B's and you'd zoom in. Mm-hmm. But now they take a tractor, mow up, and name it.
And usually when I first started training when I was in Statesville, one of the first places we'd go to was to a Fast Fields or somewhere like that because you had a you know, those big map stands.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the big gulp.
No. They had the big map stands. You know, you buy, you know, there's your map of Iredell County. And there was several guys that, you know, I'd help actually help them. We'd take it back to the PD, open it up, put a piece of cardboard down, cut out the edges so that they could fold it and keep it, you know.
And if you were an overachiever, you would actually go out and make copies of the zones and put them in a three-ring binder. So that you could put the three-ring binder on the steering wheel and be flipping while you're driving.
Don't tell too much, yeah.
Well, I guess I was just an overachiever, but I wasn't that well of an overachiever. Oh, yeah. I just took a pen and would trace in all the beat map and everything. Yeah.
Well, everybody learns here. You can either get on 115 north or south, and you end up Mooresville Estates or Love Valley.
Yeah.
You get on Sullivan or Turnersburg. You know, everything's named at which way you're pointing anyway.
Yeah. So you're going way too far. You're in Davidson.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's amazing the change in the technology. Mm-hmm. We're going to get into that a little bit when mm-hmm. we come back, I guess. But the FTO, I was going to say, when these officers get – how many of them get into the cars and just really think – and I was kidding when I said they've watched Blue Bloods or whatever or Cops on TV their whole lives. It's kind of the exact opposite.
Yeah, you can see that. You can literally see the wheel spinning because, like, normally, you know, you've got a observation day, which they ride with you, and you know, you do it, and they just kind of pick up, you know, what's going on. But that first day when they sit behind that steering wheel, and they're like, you're looking at them going, "Okay, let's go," and they're like, you can see the wheels just grind to a halt for a second. Mm-hmm. And it's like
stress.
Stress. It's like,
and you know, law enforcement, I think, and I talked to my wife, is a lot like the medical field. We are ruthless when it comes to rookies.
Mm.
Good. I'm waiting for you to say something.
It's a little bit.
I mean, I've known them. They move their cars. They put mannequins in the back seat. Yeah. I've known people put snakes into go boxes and give it to them through the window. But
yeah.
Either way.
Yeah.
But it's a But once you're in, it's for all those that's looking to come into it, it's a brother and a sisterhood mm-hmm. later on. I mean, it'll carry you through life. And
it's a family.
But you know now, Nathan, one thing, you know, NC Aware, the computer system, everything inside is instantaneous communication.
Oh, yeah, leaps and bounds.
I mean, if you put Bill and I mean, and you're way ahead of us, you put us in there and told us to run a CAD, which is a computer aided mm-hmm. dispatch,
mm-hmm.
good luck.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can talk on the radio. We remember the 10 codes.
Yeah.
As far as working the computer, we don't have it. We got it on our phones, but we're not in a position to utilize it. But you have to train all these rookies at.
Yeah, it's one of the neat things that I think, because when I worked for Taylorsville PD before I came here, I did enjoy working traffic. And, you know, you have the ticket book and all that, you know, your DMV 349 mm-hmm. rec forms. Yep. And now it's all on the computer. And I'm like, where was that when I needed it? Man. Yeah.
So what do you?
It's funny, too, because every now and then, you know, things happen. You know, our CAD system has gone down a couple times, and, you know, I'll have – one of the guys see me.
That would be Ecom's CAD system, just for the record.
The CAD system goes down. You know, you'll see somebody pull up next to me, and they're like going, kind of like, what do we do? And I'm sitting over there with a notepad sitting right up there on the radio ready to go. You know, just write it down and go. That's what we used to.
Write
the address down, and you just looked it up on your map and went.
I remember having a mini cassette recorder next to my speaker on my radio.
Yeah.
And I would push record, and then I would call in the dispatch. They'd give me the call, so I wouldn't have to call them again. Where was that again?
Yeah.
And I could listen to my mini cassette as we were riding. So
okay, we got to get. I could also talk about Polaroids, crime scenes, and all that stuff too. But we're gonna come back a little bit to the technology and what for these officers to help recruit them. What's beneficial? And Bill, I think we'll be back in about. I think he said about 20 seconds.
Joe's tight on that clock today.
He is. He's flagging us and lets us know. So we're about 10 now, correct?
We'll be back in about 3 minutes.
That's right.
Don't go anywhere. We'll have more of The Good, the Bad, and the Guilty coming up right after these messages on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC. Local starts here. It's The Good, the Bad, and the Guilty with Iredell County Sheriff Darren Campbell on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC. Local starts here.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And again, thank you so much for taking your time to tune in to The Good, the Bad, and the Guilty here this afternoon on WSIC. Joe, even before the music is over, I think we have a caller on the line.
Nathan, maybe it's for you.
Hello, caller. Are you there?
Good afternoon, lawman. How are y'all today? This is William here.
Hey,
doing
William.
Well, William. How are you?
Pretty good. I got a question for you, lawman.
Okay.
I got some kinfolk that live over in Georgia. And I was talking to some of the old timers that are still alive, And I like to sit down and listen to those folks because they got a lot of good stories to tell. And one of them was telling me that he could remember a day and a time when a sheriff didn't even carry a what you would call a service pistol today, didn't even carry one. You guys remember any old-timers here in Iredell County in these parts?
I don't know if I can remember deputies, but I cannot remember before the constable laws was repealed, did they or did they not have them?
I don't know.
I do know, I can tell you this, when Sheriff Kimball was killed in 1934, part of the question was they didn't know if he carried a gun, that was in the paper, didn't know if he actually had his gun, but thought if he did, he would have kept it down in his pocket. So it probably would not have been a service weapon, and then come to find out the weapon that was used to kill him was another gun. But they don't know that day, technically, did he have one or not. And that was in 1934, because I read that in an article. So I would assume he was wanting one. Ralph Davis was the offender, robbed the mayor, and he went and found him and cornered him and up, got shot and killed.
It's interesting how the times have changed. I wouldn't, if I was a peace officer today, I wouldn't dare go out the door without one because of the times we're living in now. It's just part of a tool and necessary now. But yeah, it was just interesting to listen to some of them old timers talk about that. You know, they talk about the south of the border down there and everything that's going on, catch and release thing. It's even if the sheriff was down there standing guard, he couldn't shoot those illegals that are coming across the line until they threatened him, I guess you could say. But you just can't out and shoot somebody just for crossing, breaking the law and crossing the line down there. It's a lot more complicated than that.
And that is correct. And, you know, that does have impact. I think it was Officer Nix back last year was killed. Wake County Sheriff's Deputy. Those two guys was out was across the border on detainers.
Yes.
And he was, I call it assassinated, murder, whatever word you want to use it for or use with it. And, William, that's exactly if they could have stopped him and prevented that, you know, he may be living today.
Yeah.
But buddy, we appreciate your call for sure.
All right. Well, we appreciate you, Darren, Bill, and everybody, and y'all take care, okay?
Hey, stay dry. Thank you very much.
Thank you, friend. Appreciate it.
Nathan, this is our last segment, so we can't. But I think yesterday, and I know you were not working, but Bill and I were very – I mean, we see this a lot, but I think it's like just the super coolest thing is I think some of the kids were out on spring break yesterday up in the far north end where Joyner Road is. And we put it on Facebook if you'd like to go look at that picture. A little 5-year-old girl enjoying the weather with her two dogs, I believe, and got missing for a good ways. And you know, in the old days, we call it, of course, yesterday on the radio when I was here and we was going out, there's so many officers that hear a missing child, they're going to come anyway. But that's where you as a supervisor's got to come in and make sure that you don't forget the other parts either. That's a whole nother story. But y'all were able to utilize K-9. I believe it was Sadie and Hodges.
Sadie and Sergeant Hodges were able to respond, and Patrick and our drone team was able to get up. And just watching those two assets, and Sarge, I know you guys call for them a lot more on the road. It's just really neat to have those kind of assets, because I do remember, Sheriff, a time, and I know that we joke about the way things used to be, but I remember a time, and here again, I'm not knocking the
binoculars
agency.
Binoculars was our best asset.
Binoculars was our best asset, and if we needed to call for a helicopter, we would either need to call the Highway Patrol, if they had one available, if it wasn't out already doing something else, or the National Guard. And here again, not knocking those agencies, but it could be 2-3 hours before we would have a vehicle on scene to help in a search.
And I guess, and Bill's right, everything that's at your disposal. If it's lake, we've got the thermal imaging. Even in the woods, you've got that. You've got drones. You do have helicopter access. You've got communications with everybody from here to California, I think.
Yeah, pretty much,
10 different radio channels. But how has that changed as far as recruiting these guys? I mean, I'm trying to get things. It's not just what you see on TV. It's truly... Mm-hmm. The cars are an office, but the assets that you can bring to bear to protect the citizens here in the county in a time of emergency, like a missing child or an Alzheimer's patient or anything like that.
Because I mean, it's a whole, you know, the ball game is not even the same ball game anymore as far as like equipment wise and stuff. Because it's, you know, you went from, you know, you had 3 or 4 switches and that was activated your lights and everything and a siren button and that was it. You didn't have computers. You didn't have a lot of stuff that we do now. And now it's just like, you know, with the drones, you know. You know, you had somebody that was bad guy that robbed somebody or something. They took off running. I mean, containment was, you know, not even an issue because you didn't have enough resources to, you know,
do a perimeter.
A lot of times you had to do a perimeter.
And even if you had people to respond quick enough, you're still big gaps and distances between officers.
And when you can, you can put up a relatively decent perimeter, and then you've got, you know, little drone flying over and go, oh, they're right there. I mean, you can't beat that.
Yep. Well, a lot of people reading, y'all is patrolling, y'all come up with plans, and there's certain tactics that we use, you know, from a city to a county. But when we have a convenience store, let's say, I'm trying to think, say up Sullivan, let's say up Turnersburg Highway up towards Harmony, you know, you've got 15 miles on each side, and they're saying we've got to be able to set up our perimeters, try to keep a suspect or a car inside those perimeters. So there's different ways we respond. And I know, just going back, some of the things that we do is we may send one car to the initial call, especially depending on the time of day, if there's a clerk in there. The rest of them know to surround and do certain things.
You know, Sheriff, I think, and I will say thank you and Sheriff Redmond for laying the groundwork, and you for taking and running with it exponentially. But I can remember when I first came here, we had a 2-channel walkie-talkie.
Mm-hmm.
We had a 16-channel car radio that about 2 or 3 channels really worked. Now, when you come to work for us, you have a cell phone. You're issued a cell phone. You're issued a multi-band radio that does just tremendous things. It really does more than I absolutely
can. Well, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, just for the record, if you need me and Bill real quick and then her, and you tell us to switch the channel, you better call us on the phone.
Yeah, just call me.
Yeah.
But, I mean, so seriously, now you get a county-issued phone, encrypted radios.
And we've got to have that just for the documentation of crime scenes.
Well, the documentation and the way to call the troops if we need it. I mean, the days of the pager are over.
Yeah.
And gosh, I can remember, you know, I was issued a pager, and I thought, I am the man. You know, but
you
I mean,
really was good when you had a message writer. But anyway,
yes, sir. But now you've got cars that are so high tech. You've got computers that can do just about anything. We have the ability. Our interstate team, and I don't want to give too much of their secrets away, but they have databases that can tell them if vehicles have crossed the border. I mean, the amount of information literally that is now at the fingertips of these young officers.
Oh yeah,
is amazing, and it helps them with training and experience from good FTOs with support of command staff to go out and do a job. And I think you can see a desk moving behind you.
Yeah.
But I think it just helps the citizens of Iredell County be so much safer.
You know, I'm laughing at them walking. It looks like a little ducks to fair walking back and forth. But if you're watching, it's a show just to watch the ground behind us move the desk and stuff. Obviously, Justin them's
not
thinking
desk,
that.
There's a desk falling. Nope, it's slowly lowering.
Don't have nothing to throw at the door. But Nathan, one thing, if you're a new officer coming, one thing we've sat there and said this. I'm trying to think of something. It's no longer just a get out, stop cars. The technology we have, the capabilities we have, is it a profession somebody choose for life and be happy if they have an interest in it while they're young?
Absolutely. I mean, it's a.
Would you do it again too? Let me add that in there.
Yes.
If you're just gonna work for us, right?
Seriously, what's not to love though? I mean, really now, if
it's more dangerous,
if you're geared that way, then maybe this is not your profession. But if you remotely think you're gonna like it, the technology, the equipment, the advancement, the scientific stuff, the crime scene processing. Now, I mean, I remember a day when we just got, two cans of fingerprint powder and a brush, and we're told to go forth. Now you've got lasers and chemicals and chemistry and DNA and all sorts of neat stuff. So,
yeah.
You've got to be
ready to ride the wave. You know,
absolutely.
It's kind of up and down. You know, there's, you know, like anything, there's good times, bad times, and sometimes they're, you know.
But that's any profession.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and I think.
That's any profession.
Well, you know, it comes to cost if you're just a layman and you're not looking. You know, we do budgets. Our budgets, when you offset the cost, And we'll get ready, and we're doing budgets now, and I'll present to the county manager, then we'll meet the commissioners, whatever it goes. Vehicles cost. I mean, if I do a light bar, people don't understand. So we ought to do a budget
Several
show.
Several thousand
just,
dollars.
You're looking at $2,400 just for light bar, and that's radios, $10,000. We don't have those options.
Mm-hmm.
Fuel's up, insurance up,
yep.
Chargers. You know, the Chargers are going away next year, so that brings Tahoe and Explorer packet prices up. Retirement, supplements that we don't have control over, and those are a lot of issues, and you know the wage growth trying to recruit there. Because I don't want shouldn't say certain counties, but I don't want certain places or departments, local or abroad, to get the best help we have here. And
no, because there is a finite number of people coming through BLET, and when you have all the municipalities and all the counties that just touch Iredell County, let's say you have 25 people in a BLET school. Think of all the counties that touch us, because each one has a sheriff's office. Think of all the municipalities within those counties. Think of the state. Think of Highway Patrol. Think of SBI and Wildlife and all these other agencies.
Oh, everybody. And think about the BLET. You're an instructor. Nathan, you're an instructor.
No.
If you're not, BLET is fixing to go up now to about 8 months at night and about 5 months during the day.
I mean,
it's
going to be crazy.
From 2,300 pages of instruction. You know, they're still in the show behind us. About 2,300 hours of instruction to, I'm sorry, 2,300 pages of instruction to about 4,800
pages of instruction.
So, but I got a question. Now, this, we're going to leave here in just a second. I think he said in 1 minute. Are the officers today smarter than what we were when we started?
Or well, that's a loaded question.
It is. Or do they have to be more technologically advanced and they've grown up with it, things? And but are they more?
I think that.
It's not just catching a bad guy. It's got to be community relations. It's got to be working with people, problem solving, all that good stuff.
You've got to, my thoughts on it, and of course, that's, you know, I'm obviously from an old guy perspective, but I mean, you know, the mix is works well. It's just getting everybody, you know, taking you know, the old guys taking the new guys taking the old. And mixing it all together, and you get good people.
Well, if you're thinking career contact, they can email us, follow us on Facebook, send us a message on the app, Bill. We got about 20 seconds now.
Call us at the sheriff's office.
Come visit us at the sheriff's
come
office.
Visit
call
us
Nathan.
At the sheriff's office.
Call Sergeant here, but we'll be back next Wednesday, 3 o'clock.
Yes, sir. Have a great week.
See ya.
Serving you better than ever before. 105.9 100.7 WSIC, Statesville, Morrisville, North Charlotte.